Okay, let's turn to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's start off this morning in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this class as it meets, as you bless all the other classes. Lord, as we open your word, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see the things that you have in this word. I pray that you would give us hearts willing to accept your truth. I pray that you would be with my mouth, Lord, that I'd say those things that please you. Lord, not only in this, but in the service to follow, Lord, that you would get honor and glory to your name in all these things that are done here today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're starting off in chapter 6. And I've got the chapter pretty well divided like I want to. I don't know exactly when we start teaching it how far we're going to get. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about the first two verses. And while on just looking at it from the outset, it might not seem like a subject like this would fit us today, it actually has tremendous weight for us. It's very applicable to us. He's talking about servants, and he's talking about masters. I guess one of the things that the Bible is sometimes criticized for is the fact that you find every now and then slavery in the Bible. In the Old Testament, when a nation went up against another nation and they took captives, those captives became their slaves. Sometimes God put His own people, Israel, into punishment by making them slaves, by making them servants of other countries. I don't see any place in the Bible where it out and out says that slavery is okay. It's just something that has been going on just about ever since human beings have ever been on this world. And by the time the New Testament was written, by the time that the apostles and the Lord walked on the face of this earth, slavery had changed somewhat, although there still was quite a bit of it. And some of the people in the church that were getting saved were, some of them were indentured servants. Some of them had been born to people that were servants. And so they became servants to whatever family it was that they were under. And they weren't really free to leave and to go and to get jobs elsewhere, to run around. They didn't quite have the economy that you and I enjoy today. If we lose a job, we can go right out and we can get another job. And right now, with the way that the economy is, employment is just tremendous. There's opportunities for everybody. And we're free. As Americans, we're free to work for whoever we want to. Nobody tells me who I have to work for. You know, I'm thankful for that. But you know, not everybody in the world has that opportunity. There are some places in the world, even today, where people don't have the choice of employers. They don't have the choice of their situation. They're basically still in slavery. One of the things that the Africans realized when they were captured in Africa and brought over to the United States in the early days of American slavery was that it didn't matter whether they were slaves or not. In God's eyes, a lot of those people ended up calling on the Lord and getting saved in the midst of their slavery. When they got saved, they were not immediately released from slavery. They were still slaves. And yet at the same time, they began servants of the Most High God. And a lot of them ended up calling on the Lord. A lot of them ended up it was like God was all that they had, because they were bought and sold like pieces of property, and they had no control and no rights of their own. And so it's a blessing that many of them did call on the Lord. And thankfully, today we don't have slavery. I never am an advocate of slavery. But I know this, and here's the point, is that wherever you are, you can call on the Lord and get saved and actually be useful to God. You know, some people think that someone who has committed great atrocities, maybe murders, and is sitting at in a cell in a death row somewhere, that person doesn't have any more use to society, that God's not going to be interested in a person like that. But you know, there's some people on death row that call on the Lord and get saved. Now, I still think that if the law is the law, somebody like that ought to be able to go through their punishment. And if they're guilty of death, they ought to suffer the death penalty. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't think that just because someone in prison calls on the Lord and gets saved, that they ought to be released and be back into society. I don't think that's fair for society. I don't think that's fair for justice and judgment. But someone who's in the deepest, darkest pits can actually reach God and call upon Him. And some people back in the New Testament days that were in terrible positions of servitude and slavery, they became believers and they became members of the churches, but they were still servants. They were still slaves. And so nowhere do the apostles or the disciples say that they ought to run away. In fact, they tell them to abide in the same calling where they're called and to serve Him. In the Bible, we find that all labor is honorable, that there's honor in every labor. There's honor in someone who gets paid to sweep the streets with a broom and a trash can like they do in Europe. There's honor in that. Anything that you do with your hands to work and to make money and to produce income, if it's honest, it's an honorable trade and it shouldn't be despised. Work is good. We're taught in the Bible that, and we discussed when we hit a passage a while back, that if any man wouldn't work, that he didn't have the right to eat either. A man ought to work. A man ought to provide his own way. But I think it's a given in society today that we ought to work. I think that's pretty much in our minds. If you're going to get anywhere in this country, you've got to get a job. You've got to make your own money. You've got to make your way. You've got to provide for yourself, because someone's not always going to be carrying you. But there's a way that you ought to work. Christians ought to be distinguished in the workplace from the rest. There ought to be a difference in the way that a Christian goes about his business. Whether you own your own business or whether you're an employee for somebody else. I have never been a servant in the sense that I've been a slave of anybody. The closest I ever came to it was in the military. And I had about as few rights there. I discovered when I joined the military that you're not under the constitutional protection. You're under the UCMJ, and that's a whole lot different. I have no rights of my own as a soldier, and so that's about the closest I came to ever being a servant and having a master. But the truth is if you're an employee and you work for somebody, in the loose sense, that employer is your master or your boss, and you are the servant. Sometimes I think in the United States we've got it backwards a little bit. We have become so much for labor rights and labor organizations. And you know, labor organizations have done some good things, but they've done some bad things too. They have really hurt the economy in many ways with minimum wages and different things like this. And I'm not going to get into all that and tell you what I think is right or wrong. But in the Bible, it always tells us, it always gives us a little bit different perspective. In the United States, you know, I'm my own boss. Nobody can tell me what to do. If you don't like the way I'm doing my job, fine, fire me and I'll go get a job somewhere else. But in the Bible, it gives just a little bit different perspective. Philemon was a slave. And you find that Paul, after Philemon had gotten saved, Paul was getting ready to send him back to his master, send him back to where he was. And the interesting thing is in Philemon, he says, now he is profitable both to me and to you. Before, he was a slave that was a runaway. He was no good, probably not doing his work. But Paul was trying to tell Philemon that just by virtue of the fact that this slave, this Onesimus, because he had called on the Lord, because he had gotten saved and made God the center of his life, that he was going to be a different kind of servant than he was before. There are some marks of an employee in the workplace that ought to mark a Christian. We're going to go through some of those today. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. You know, that's tough to do. Anybody ever had a bad boss? I think at one time or another, every one of us have had a boss that we have just literally despised, that we couldn't stand. I remember, I'll be spending here all day telling stories, so I won't remember anything, but we can all think about that. One of the things it says here is it tells us to count the masters worthy of all honor. Now, one thing it doesn't say that the masters are worthy of all honor. It says that you're to count them worthy of all honor. There's a difference there. In a marriage relationship, a wife ought to reverence her husband. But that's by virtue of the fact of his position. It doesn't mean that he has to be always worthy of that reverence. It just means that that's what she is. The Bible tells us that the husband is supposed to love the wife. It doesn't mean that the wife always has to be worthy of that love. It just tells us that that's what we have to do. I'll give you an example. Suppose I was stopped on the highway by a police officer, which incidentally happened not too long ago, and that police officer turns on his lights. The police officer drinks beer. Police officer cheats on his wife. He's a real scumbag just personally, you know. He's just not the kind of guy you would like. But he's driving a police car, and he's wearing a police uniform. Now, when those lights came on, did I continue driving down the highway saying, this guy's a scumbag, I'm not going to stop for him? I tell you what I did. I pulled over and I stopped. I pulled over on the side of the street because I was giving him honor because of his position. Doesn't mean that he was worthy of the honor, but he pulled me over. And when he asked me questions, I was very polite. I was very respectful to him because of the fact that he had position of authority over me. And I gave him that reverence. I gave him that. Well, the same thing is if you take the time to actually go into a company and begin working for somebody, in a certain sense, you belong to them. I mean, they have put out money for you so that you could work for them. You're not in that company just for your own pleasure or your own benefit. There's something going on. There's a company making money, or there's a social service that's giving out services, or there's a goal. There's something going on in that company. And so you actually belong in a certain sense to that company. Now, you guys are looking at me like, are you crazy? I belong to the Lord. I don't belong to any man. But there's a lot of times in Scripture where the Bible tells you to submit to men. Yeah, God is my only Father. He's my only Lord. He's the only one but you know, there are laws in the land, and God tells me to submit to those laws. There are taxes to pay, and God tells me to render unto Caesar and to pay those taxes. There are things to be done, and you know, God does it because if not, just take a look at back in the book of Judges. If anybody's ever read the book of Judges, you find out how messed up society was in that day. And you know why? Because over and over again, you find a phrase in that book says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was all messed up. Everybody was going this way and that way, and morality was sunk down to a low point, and nobody knew where the country was going. And every now and then it got so bad, God had to raise up judges to deliver them. Did it ever dawn upon you that God causes us to submit to one another so that we as human beings can actually live on this planet in peace without killing each other? The reason why we've got wars, the reason why we have uprisings and civil rights is because of the pride of man and because of our conflict. You know, God has set us in societies. We're not just like wolves that run around out there and do whatever we want. God desires us to be an orderly society. And part of that is to, when we get to the employer and the employee relationship, is to understand what God wants from you. I've talked to a lot of people that have had trouble in the workplace as Christians. And they wouldn't have had any trouble if they would have understood more what the Word of God has to say. And so, it says here that you're to count your masters worthy of all honor. Well, how are we going to do that? How are you going to honor your master? Now, let's change the word master and just put employer, your boss, okay? How are you going to honor your boss? What kinds of things should a Christian do in the workplace to make him different, to make him stand out from the other? Should it be passing out tracts? Would that make him stand out? Well, I had a friend one time, and he was a brother. And he got fired from a job. The reason why he got fired from a job is because he spent all his time passing out tracts to the employees. Now, is passing out tracts a good thing to do? Sure it is. But the boss didn't hire him to pass out tracts. The boss hired him to do a job. And so for him to say, yes, I will do this job, and then to get on the job and not do his job, but spend his time passing out tracts, he was deceiving his boss. He was going in there under false pretenses. Oh, I'm saying be a witness every chance you can get. Don't get me wrong. But you've got to understand something. When you're on company time, you are submitted to that employer. You belong to that company. Now, there was a lot of times when I was in my job that I could witness on company time. I remember as a truck driver, I had that guy sitting beside me, the lumper, the helper, whatever. And so I could witness to him and talk to him, and it had no interference with the job whatsoever. And that was fine. There was no problem at all. But if I'm sitting on an assembly line, and there's a guy punching out little L's all day long out of metal, and I'm sitting over there trying to talk to him and say, hey, bud, how about your soul, you know? He's liable to get his finger cut off. Or he's liable to work slower. Or something else is liable to happen. We've got to have the right mentality. And you know, our work lives would go a lot easier, and we would be better testimonies if we understood what God expected out of us. I got to thinking about it. And you know, work is a big part of our lives. Some people take their work and they separate it, and they say, this is the carnal part of my life, and the time that I'm on church visitation, or the time that I'm in church in a meeting, or the time that I'm actually doing something spiritual like praying or reading my Bible, that right there is my spiritual time, and me just being on the job, that's my carnal time. But you know, if you're a Christian, every part of you is spiritual. Now, of course, if you get saved and you're working in a beer factory, you might want a series or a beer distillery, or I don't know what it's called, wherever they make beer, that you ought to think about changing your occupation, because there are some occupations that aren't compatible with being a Christian. But if there is nothing morally standing against you in that job, then that job is honorable. You ought to do the best you can. Now look at some scriptures with me. Look at the book of Ephesians. Here's some concrete ways that we can be a good witness and a good testimony on the job, honor the Lord, and honor our bosses without ever even opening our mouth for the first time. Look at Ephesians in chapter 6, in verse 5. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now understand the context again. Is a lot of times when it talks about this, these are people in the New Testament church that were in basic indentured servitude or slavery. So given the freedoms that we have, if God tells them to obedient, if God tells them these things, then it ought to be all that much easier for us. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will during service as to the Lord and not to men. Now notice the phrase at the end of verse 5, as unto Christ. Notice the phrase again at the end of verse 7, as to the Lord and not to men. This is the first way that I can honor my employer, that in the workplace that you can honor your employer, that you can actually serve him. That is, you can actually be a good and productive employee, even if the guy that you work for is as reprobate and lost and wicked as wicked can be, because you're not primarily doing this for him. You're doing this as unto the Lord. You know, I've seen marriages saved because men have loved their wives as unto the Lord. That wives have reverenced their husbands as unto the Lord. You know, I don't have to count that guy. I don't have to see him as worthy of my respect in order to give him a due amount of respect. He says in verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. How much better would you work? How much more efficient would your work be? How much of a higher quality would it be? If you stop thinking yourself so much in terms as doing this for a particular boss and realize that what you're doing it for the Lord. What God sees, you're doing that for the Lord. Now you may be diligent in some things, diligent reading your Bible because you say, this is for God. But do you realize that your actual physical labor here on earth can be blessed by God, can be sanctioned by God, and can be honoring to God? There are times when Christians stand out in the workplace because of how they act and how they work, and it actually attracts people to them. It backs up their testimony. Now, if somebody's sitting on a stool all day and not doing anything, or not producing the numbers, or putting in the same production as everybody else, or being a poor example of an employee in different areas, and then he opens his mouth to speak for Christ, what kind of a weight do you think those words are going to have? They're not going to have much weight. You know the first thing they're going to call you? They're going to call you a hypocrite. If you're standing around the building all day long with the rest of the guys and sloughing off rather than doing your work, and then you try to speak up for Christ, they're going to see you as no different than anybody else. Sometimes that'll get you in trouble. I remember when I started work at this one place right after I got out of the military, I was going to take these words into practice, and I was going to do the best job I could possibly do, and I was going to take these words seriously. So I went out, and man, I did twice as much work as anybody else there. And one day, I guess about two weeks after I started working, I was way in the back of the warehouse, and I heard these footsteps. And that's when one guy came around one corner, another guy was around another corner. Before long, three or four of them were there, and they had me all in the back of the warehouse where nobody could hear you scream. And they said, "You're working too fast. You're making us look bad. You got to slow down." And I realized then I had two choices. I could either honor God, or I could go with the status quo. You know, I decided to honor God, because God sees what you do. God sees how you work. And the truth is that a Christian in the workplace ought to be one of the hardest workers there. Ought to be one of the most faithful workers there. Ought to be one of the most efficient workers there. I'm telling you, it makes a difference. With goodwill during service as to the Lord and not unto men. Here's another thing. If you look in Titus in chapter 2, in verse 9... It says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Now understand what he's saying there. He's saying, exhort servants to run away from their masters. I mean, these were indentured servants back in that day. He said, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. That's something that we don't have a lot of in this society today. Because I tell you what, we're Americans, and we're independent, and we're proud. And if you don't like the way you do things, you know, you can take the highway, and I'm going to do it this way, and I don't care what anybody says about me. But you know, the truth is that if you take the time to give yourself to an employer, you ought to be obedient to that employer. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to go sin. I'm not saying that if the employee causes you to, or the company causes you to do something that's against God's laws, of course not. And we're free here in America. If you can't work for a place and abide by the laws of God, then you've got the freedom to leave. And you ought to leave and find yourself a job where you can be a good testimony. Do you know, I've heard people cry and say that they were in a bad place because they were the only Christian in that company and they wanted more fellowship. But you know, for me, the criteria for a good job is not whether or not there's Christians to fellowship with. It's to whether or not I can make good money and get good hours to be able to provide for my family. Good fellowship to me, I know I can get that in the assembly. I know I can go to church and get that. That's not a requirement for me on the job. You know, if you spend one night a week out on the streets passing out tracts, do you realize how little of a percentage of your life that really is? But look at the tremendous amount of time you spend at the workplace. I mean, you're talking anywhere from 35 to 60 hours a week, depending on who you are. If you're like Randy, 90 hours a week, you know. You're talking about a tremendous amount of time in your life that's in the workplace. Wouldn't it stand to reason that that would be one of the main focuses for us as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be an example and to be a testimony to somebody else? We can't turn off God when we go into the workplace. We can't put the Bible aside when we go into the workplace. When we go into the workplace, it's time for you and I to actually live what we're reading and live what we believe and put into practice what God has made us to be. Isn't that what he says? To shine as lights in the world. And there's lots of times at the workplace that you don't have the opportunity to preach. But when you do, make sure there's a life that backs it up. It says in verse 10, not purloining. That's almost like stealing. And there's a lot of people that just basically steal from their company. A friend of mine, and it was the same guy, he was having trouble, and what he was doing is he was stealing from his company. He saw it as his zeal for evangelism. He drove a forklift and he loaded trucks. And I got to show him, I said, you know, for all that time that you're stopping that forklift and holding up those loads in order that you can talk to this person and talk to that person and talk to that person, that's money that that company loses. And you're actually stealing money from the company. There's nothing wrong with working hard. In fact, that honors God. There's nothing wrong with being a faithful employee. Being a faithful employee is honoring to God. God likes to see when His people are not living their lives in a lazy, self-centered manner, but are actually productive and doing a good job. He says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. Now, sometimes you have a problem because you're trying to balance this in your mind. You're trying to balance, when should I be faithful to my employer? When should I be faithful to God? But if you look at it in the sense of being faithful to your employee, employer is being faithful to God. Being a faithful worker is the same as being faithful to God. God honors it. And God says that there's a reward for it. He says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. My primary purpose in life is not a physical vocation. Some people have gotten their careers, and their career is their only focus in the whole world. Whether you're a computer programmer, whether you're a truck driver, whether you're a police officer, or whatever it is, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, some people have given everything into their profession, and then so when they retire, it's all over. It's all done. They no longer have their identity. But you and I, that is not our primary goal in life, is to simply serve an employer somewhere, is to simply do a job. There is an ulterior motive to you and I doing a good job at the workplace, to honoring the Lord in the people that we work for. There's an ulterior motive to it, is that the doctrine of God, that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Everything I do, I want to complement the gospel. Because I'm here for one thing. And you're here in this life for one thing. And that's to please God. That's your primary focus in life, is to please God. If God is pleased with your life, then your primary focus in life is fulfilled. And so you've got to decide, how am I going to please God? Well, this is one way. Be faithful as an employee. Not purloining. Not stealing on company time. Not stealing, not taking advantage of the company. It says that we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. A Christian ought to give his employer his money's worth. There's no doubt about that. Look at Colossians in chapter 3. Servants to Christ, it's talking about obeying in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. You know what eye service means, right? Men pleasers. Those are the ones that only work hard when the boss is around. The boss comes around and all of a sudden people are busy. Man, it looks like the place is production city. And then the boss goes away and goes out on a call or something, and everybody sits down in the back and smokes cigarettes. But that's eye service. That means that you only do it when God is when the boss is watching. But if you're doing it as unto the Lord, how often is the Lord watching? You don't get no days off. There's no slough time. And the truth is that it's not only God that's watching. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, beholding both good and evil. But what other eyes are looking at you? What other eyes are watching? What about that lost and reprobate boss that you can't stand because he's vulgar and he's rude and he doesn't like you? You work for him. Well, now how are you going to be a good testimony for him? Because he's watching you. And you know what he's waiting? He's just waiting for the moment that he can point his finger at you and call you hypocrite. He's waiting for that moment. He lives for that moment that he can take a faithful Christian and say, you're nothing but a hypocrite. And there are people that work every day that are looking and watching you. I wish as Christians we didn't have to live in glass houses. But you know, we do. We live in glass houses. To make the statement that I don't care what anybody thinks about me is sometimes taken in the wrong context. In a sense, yes, I do care what people think about me. I don't want them to catch me in laziness. I don't want them to catch me in embezzlement. I don't want to be a poor example on the work site, because most Christians, that's where most of their time is spent, in the workplace, and it's there more than anywhere else that they ought to be a shining light. There's really no room in the church for Christians that just come to church on Sunday, and then when they go to work on Monday morning, they're a completely different person altogether. It says, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let me tell you something else about being a good worker. You ought to have a good attitude at work. I know it's hard. We could make a list of all the occupations in this room today. And you know what we could do with every occupation? There will not be one that is perfect. Even mine. I'm a pastor. And you would think, man, if there's any job that I'd rather have this one. And yet, you know, even a pastor has its downsides. I experienced some of them this week. Even a pastor has things that he has to do. There's a pastor has sometimes situations that he gets into. And it's not always easy being a pastor. So I could say, yeah, man, this is a bummer. Pastor's expected to do this. They've got to do this. And you know, sometimes I start complaining even among my own. Me and Lyndall and Steve get together, and it's not much of a prayer meeting. It's more of a complaining meeting, you know. But you know what a Christian ought to be? Ought to be a worker that works with enthusiasm. If you can't put that into your job, maybe you got to find someplace else that you can work with enthusiasm, that you can say, yes, this work that I'm doing right here is a worthy cause. Hey, it's worthy in many cases. It puts food on the table for your family. It provides for you. It keeps you off the welfare rolls. Yes, it's worthy in a lot of ways. But you know, there's some people that when you look at their tongues, it's hard to believe that they're a Christian. I got caught into it one time. I tried to have a good attitude at work, and this one place I worked at, I remember a new guy came in. He didn't want to be there. He got hired because it was his last resort. He really didn't want to work there, but he needed the money, and so he was working there. And the whole time he starts complaining about the company. Truth is, though, is that most of his complaints were right. But you know what my mistake was? My mistake was I started listening to him. And before long, I said, you know, that guy's right. This isn't right what we have to put up with. This isn't right. Yeah, and you know something else? Yeah, that guy's right. And then I started finding other things. And before long, my attitude was just as bad as his. I had no place for a Christian to be. I got a rude awakening one day when I walked into the room and there was a pink slip. It was the first time that I had ever been released from any job in my life. And it was a rude awakening. I had a bad attitude. There were people in that company that stole from God, or that stole from the company, that were involved in theft rings. They'd been there 20 years. They were still working there. I knew about it, and yet I had a bad attitude, and they fired me. I realized what it was. It was the Lord. It was the Lord that was behind that thing. He was trying to show me something. I had it a whole lot better than what I thought. When I went out looking for another job, I realized that where I'd been wasn't so bad after all. A Christian ought to have a good attitude. What things that come out of his mouth ought to be good things. When they're sitting around the water cooler complaining about the boss, about this and about that, a Christian should have no part of that right there. And doesn't honor God. I remember I used to get fits at Welder Supply where I worked, because around Thursday, you know, they'd start getting real happy, you know, because the weekend's coming and I'm going to go to this club and we're going to do this and we're going to get paid and they had all kinds of plans. And so as the week got on, they got better and lighter and lighter and more happy. And I'd say, look, only 4 more days. What are you talking about? And the next day, only 3 more days. What are you talking about, Tebow? Monday, it's coming. The first day of the week. A chance for new beginnings, you know? You're sick, Tebow. You are sick. But the truth is that Monday for a Christian ought to be the same as Friday. Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're not working just to provide. I mean, you've got purpose in your life that goes so far beyond just that little job where you're at. And you might look at yourself and you say, man, I'm nothing. Look, this is all I do all day. I do this work. I do it. I go home. I get my check. And that's all my life is. But don't you understand that for living for God, it gives things like this purpose to where somebody in the New Testament that's a slave to an owner that doesn't like him, doesn't respect him, can actually serve that master, please God, be happy, and have purpose in life. What I'm trying to say is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes into your heart, it ought to change your life in such a way that you stand out from the crowd. Not that Christians wear holy clothes and they dress in a way as to distinguish themselves like the Pharisees, but I'm talking about in our attitudes, in our actions, in the things that we say. The Bible says here, he says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, that's the bottom line. Is that, yeah, you may be a servant to a man down here, but ultimately there's a greater master. You know, that master loves you a whole lot more than your employer does. That master knows how many hairs are on your head. That master knows where your weaknesses are. He knows where your strengths are. That master knows what he wants you to do in life. That master has a plan for you. That master loves you more than you could ever possibly know. That master not only has a plan for you, he's got a future for you. One day you and I are going to stand before our master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whether you ever get a compliment in your life, whether anybody ever recognizes the faithful work that you do in this life or not, understand this, that every Monday morning that you go to work with a good attitude, intent on praising the Lord, intent on providing your employer with a good day's work, intent on honoring the Lord with the work that he's called you to do, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And there's a reward coming one day. You see, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You do something as unto the Lord, doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how menial. It can be something as simple as a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, and you're not going to lose your reward. Let's stand out wherever it is that you work. So there's no other Christians. You're complaining that you don't have fellowship and it's so hard to live for God. Be a light where you are, and it might amaze you. All of a sudden there might be more Christians. Somebody might see your testimony, get attracted to what God has to say, get saved, and then all of a sudden there's a Christian in your workplace there to work for you. The bottom line is that we have a master. And if you look back in our text, we'll just finish it up. He says in the end of verse 1, that the doctrine of God be not blasphemed, that they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If your master, if your boss is a Christian, all that much more reason to work that much harder for him. If your boss is a Christian, in fact, if you're working for a brother or sister in the church or for a brother and a sister in the Lord, don't take advantage of that. Work just as hard for them as you would for anybody else. Don't expect any freebies. Don't expect anything on the side. You're a servant. Work to honor the Lord no matter who it is that you're working for. And in all things you do it as unto the Lord. God will see it and God will honor your work. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless this word to our hearts. I pray that you would help us in the way that we work, in our attitudes, Lord, in the way that we carry ourselves in our different workplaces. I pray that you would help us in all the things that we do to honor you. And I pray as a result of that, Lord, that you would open up doors for us, doors of utterance. Lord, those co-workers that we work with that look at us every day, I pray that those that are seeing us, those that are over us, I pray, Lord, that you would open up doors of opportunity, that on breaks and different times, Lord, that you would give us the opportunity to share the gospel and to help us, Lord, to be bold. Help us, Lord, to be courageous. Help us, Lord, to honor you in the things that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.